Yeah. So my Old Testament professor, Dr. Allen, used to say, when you get stuck on names, here the key is, if you're ever in this situation, he says, just pronounce them one way and say them the same way every time, and nobody will ever know the difference. So just say it with confidence. Drive on. Hey, open your Bibles to Acts chapter 20. We're doing something a little bit special this week. We've done it a couple of years now on the Sunday after Thanksgiving. And it's a thing we've kind of called, because I'm not very creative, Testimony Sunday. And so today we will be having a couple people share a testimony. And we're actually short one. One person that was going to do it couldn't make it. So if there's somebody in here when I give the opening that would like to come up and share a brief 5-minute testimony on what God has done, there'll be space for you. But I want to share, before we just go jumping into why we do this, I want to give a few reasons. I want to give a few reasons as to why I think it's important that we set aside time and we do these things, that we share in testimonies, that we hear from our brothers and sisters what God has done. And one of the reasons I had Jeff read that text we just read right now, we just heard from him, was the whole entire thing is a testimony. Paul expressing to Timothy the things that God has done in his life, the situation he was in, and he uses that for the explicit purpose of encouraging Timothy in his mission. And so one thing that we see is that testimonies can be a great encouragement to our brothers and sisters, right? That we might be facing something in life or going into a season of life where there are challenges and struggles. And sometimes it's wonderful to have a brother or a sister be able to stand and talk about God's faithfulness in the midst of a very similar phase in life. And to know, well, I'm not alone, right? Because can we just admit that sometimes it feels like we're the only one in the situation that we're in, right? But it's nice sometimes to hear not only are there brothers and sisters who share in some of the same struggles, but to hear the stories of brothers and sisters who have come out of those struggles because of God's grace, God's love, and God's faithfulness. Amen? And so our testimonies can be encouragement to one another. Secondly, and what we're going to see here, is our testimonies can at times be an instruction to each other. In Acts chapter 20, we have Paul who is about to head off to Jerusalem, knowing that this will probably be the end of his ministry to the Gentiles. Knowing that he will appeal to Caesar, he will end up in Rome and fully believing he will never leave Rome. And so before he does this, Paul is going to gather the elders of the church in the city of Ephesus. And so the city of Ephesus was a fairly large place for its day. And so they would have had multiple home churches throughout the city. And in each home church, they would have had elders that were there to teach and to guide and to instruct, to lead the church, to pray for the church, to do this work of the elder in the church. And Paul had put them in place. It was exactly what Timothy was there to do, just like what he sent Titus to Crete to do, to put elders in the church, to do all these things. And now Paul is about to leave, knowing that he will probably never see them again. And he starts this discussion. He's going to give them some instruction on what he wants them to do in his absence. But he begins with a testimony. In chapter 20 of Acts, verse 17, it says, "Now Miletus he sent to Ephesus and called the elders of the church to come to him. And when they came to him, he said to them, 'You yourselves know how I lived among you the whole time from the first day that I set foot in Asia.'" He's reminding them of this testimony of his life before them. And he says, What was the way that they know that he was serving the Lord with all humility and with tears and with trials that happened to me through the plots of the Jews? How I did not shrink from declaring to you anything that was profitable and teaching you in public and from house to house, testifying both to Jews and to Greeks of repentance towards God and of faith in our Lord Jesus Christ. And now behold, I am going to Jerusalem, constrained by the Spirit, knowing what will happen to me there, except that the Holy Spirit testifies to me in every day, in every city, that imprisonment and afflictions await me. But I do not account my life of any value, nor as precious to myself, if only I may finish my course and the ministry that I receive from the Lord Jesus to testify to the gospel of the grace of God. And now behold, I know that none of you among whom I have gone about proclaiming the kingdom will see my face again. Therefore, I testify to you this day that I am innocent of the blood of you all, for I did not shrink from declaring to you the whole counsel of God. Pay careful attention to yourselves and to all the flock to which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers, to care for the church of God, which he obtained with his own blood. So Paul, in the final instructions to the church in Ephesus, to the elders there, is going to use his testimony in order to instruct them on what they should do, about how he sought to be faithful to the gospel of Jesus Christ. And Paul's entire life, he knows, is devoted to the fact that God has come to him in Christ in the midst of his sin, in the midst of his rebellion, and had made him a new creation. And now it set him on a new journey, a new path in life. And as he says, there was highs and there was lows. There was times when he was being attacked. There was times when he was going well. But every form of that life, every up and down in that life, he brings up to be an encouragement and an instruction to his brothers as he's about to go. And I don't want you to miss that what Paul brings it all about to, his entire life, his testimony is there to serve one ultimate purpose. And that's to point to the majesty and the glory of God in Christ Jesus. And so today we get to hear a testimony from a brother who you all know, and I know his testimony, and it's a testimony of God's graciousness and God's mercy and God's power to redeem. And we're going to hear a testimony of a young lady who's been called to in the midst of her walk with Christ, has been called to go do some amazing things for God, and how we can actually take part in doing that. And then I will come up and I will hopefully bring it all together. So Jeff, would you come up?
I didn't prepare anything because I figured I would just talk to you guys, you know. So God rescued me about 7.5 years ago. I had reached my new all-time low. I had received a prison sentence for 5 years for possession of controlled substance. I was selling and using drugs. And after about a year-long court back and forth, I had made a promise to God in the courthouse. I don't know if has anybody ever promised God stuff. If I promised that if you get me out of this, I'll fix it. You know, I'll do. You know what I mean? So I didn't have any church or. I had never been to church growing up. It wasn't a part of our family life. I didn't know my dad, and I think that played a part in how I how I was growing up, you know, just seeking, I think, camaraderie, you know, with I guess, older brotherly types or older, you know, father types. So that got me into a lot of trouble. So I was always getting into trouble anyway. I ended up being able to join the Army. That took a few years. I had cancer when I was 20 years old, and then so I had to be cancer-free for a couple years before they would let me in. And I had gotten in trouble as a dependent. I had been kicked out of USERA. I don't know if y'all know what that is, but it's like Europe. As like a 16-year-old, just getting into stupid things. And so I had to get that lifted. But I ended up joining the Army. And then once I got into the Army, I found my purpose in the Army. That was then my hope, was the Army. And so that went well. And then I got hurt. And then I was going to get medically discharged. And then I lost my purpose. I had several of my friends that I was really close to in the Army commit suicide, really close to each other. So like one committed suicide, and then someone that I went to the funeral with and sat there with and mourned with, just a month later, he committed suicide then too, you know. And, you know, I didn't have Jesus, and so I sought to cope. And I coped the wrong way, you know, and that kind of got me into how I ended up in the whole drug thing in the first place. Several years later, I had pretty much reached the bottom. I got pulled over here in Copper's Cove, and I had a bunch of drugs in the car, and I had a gun in the car, and, you know, so... I ended up going to jail. I got out. I had enough money to fight it. So anyway, I'm sitting there in the courthouse in Gatesville, and they're about to do sentencing. And I you know, I hadn't really been in big trouble before. So I prayed. I was like, hey, you know, if you get me like a deferred adjudication or something, I'll figure it out. I won't mess up anymore. And so. I got a 5-year sentence. I got a deferred adjudication, but I had to serve a year. And so I went in, and they asked me, what's the one thing that you want, personal item? And I kept a Bible, and I started reading the Bible right then. I was like, I'm going to keep my promise, you know. And that was in the county. And then by the time I got to the first unit in Huntsville, it's called an ID unit. It's where they figure out where to put you. I surrendered to Jesus. I told him, I said, hey, you know, I've tried it for 33 years, you know, and I keep failing and failing and failing, and I placed my hope in Jesus, and I asked him to walk with me through that sentence, and he did. And a month later, I was put into my permanent unit, and I was baptized on a rec yard. I kept going to all the prison ministry stuff that they had. And then when I got out a year later, I've got a dry mouth. You got something? Thank you. So I got out a year later, and thank you. So I ended up having to go see a probation officer. You know, I met my wife while I was in prison. And then we got married after I got out. When I got out, I had a probation officer here in Copper's Cove. And one of the days my probation officer couldn't make it. And so another probation officer substituted in. And he was like, hey, how are you keeping yourself out of trouble? And I said, well, I don't know how you're going to take this, but my God has changed me. And so I'm not interested in the things that I used to be interested in. And he said, well, put a name on it. And I said, Jesus Christ. And he said, and his name was Bill Cale. And Bill was a elder here. And so then Bill said, hey, have you found a church yet? And I said, no. He said, well, there's this place called Crestview that I go to, and I invite you to come there. And so then I started coming here. And first person I met here was Bob Hill, and he was the reason I kept coming back, because he came and he talked to me and he would joke around with me. And so I came back to see Bob every week for the first couple months, you know. But then I started getting to know folks, and you know, and then I married my wife here. Scott married us. You know, we have our son. We have three kids together. I have an oldest daughter who I have a great relationship with now. God has changed me, you know. Hallelujah. God has rescued me. And I thank him every day for what he's making me into to become. And I hope to serve him faithfully and, you know, with y'all, and as we finish this race together. So that's what I got. Thanks.
So I'm gonna boast on Jeff a little bit. I don't have to, mostly because you guys know him, and you already know. But I remember the day, because that happened with it. Because Bill calls me up and says, "Hey, I'm not gonna be here this weekend, but there's this guy that I just talked to and had a great discussion with, and I'm hoping he comes to church." And then I remember that Sunday I was looking out and I met Jeff, and I could tell he was nervous, didn't know what to expect from us. And then I'll give a testimony real quick about this church, and I think Beth and Jeff will both affirm that it has a lot to do with why they're here. As they came and they were beginning to grow in Christ and they were looking to get married, like many people with the situation that came out, they didn't have a lot, didn't have anything. And so many of you sitting out there now just took it amongst yourselves to, they were going to have a little wedding, just come in and get married. And so many of you stood up and said, no, we're gonna throw them a real wedding. And they had cake and food and decorations and all the stuff. And that's a testimony right there, is the church opening up and just loving. And I bet Jeff and Beth would say that's a big part in what made them become part of this family, was because this church, just out of abundance of what God has provided us, sought to care for them. And even to something with providing a wedding, you know, that was probably, you know, I thought it was one of the best ones I'd ever been to. We had such a great time. But, and then I saw Jeff continue to grow. And I began to realize little by little that God, that we, it was more than just us being a blessing to Jeff and Beth. But man, they're a blessing for us. And Jeff is a blessing to me personally, because he's a guy that I know that is always going to try to be a help. And never, you know, when I talked a few weeks ago about helping or hurting, I know that's something that Jeff constantly thinks about. Am I helping or am I hurting? And so I've seen Jeff grow, not just as a husband, as a father, but as a Christian, and now as a leader. Amen. Who teaches Sunday school, who teaches small groups, who teaches kids, who is always willing to share, and who is preaching, is probably going to push me out of a job before too long. And so, man, what a good God we serve. And Jeff's testimony reminds us, y'all. And Jeff, I'm not trying to push you lower than you were, but it reminds us that there is nobody outside these doors that are beyond the reach of God's grace. And Jeff didn't tell one part of the story. One part of it was some just everyday Church of Christ pastor who showed up to the jail week in and week out was instrumental in Jeff coming to the Lord. Nope. Somebody that nobody's going to remember his name. Not going to be written down in history books. But everybody in this room right now is a benefit to that man's faithfulness. Because we get to share with Jeff. So hallelujah. Thanks, Jeff. Next, I'm going to invite Amanda Austin up. And you guys know the Austin family. They've been coming. And she's going to share some of her testimony. But also about something that God has opened the doors for her to do. And how we might be able to help her with it. And before she gets down, I will share something. So.
All right, I have a little paper planned here, so I'm going to try not to use it too much. But my name is Amanda Austin, for those who do not know me. My family and I have been attending Crestview since this summer. A little bit about me. I was saved when I was 9 years old and baptized a few months later. And so presently, I am a first-year doctor of physical therapy student at Harn-Simmons University in Abilene. I recently graduated this past May with a Bachelor of Science degree in kinesiology, concentrating in dance science with a minor in health, and that's at the College Station campus. Let's see. I am a dancer. I've been doing dance ever since junior high school. Throughout junior and high school, I did competitive dance here in town. And from January to like May, most of like going through grade school, we were always traveling around Texas so that I could compete. So that was a lot of fun. And then, of course, like throughout college, I danced for my major while doing prerequisite classes for physical therapy school while at Texas A&M. And I even dance now when I have time away from my physical therapy studies, which is definitely hard considering my workload for it. So you can definitely tell that dance and movement in general has been an integral part of my life. So it's only fitting that I go into the physical therapy field. I hope to one day like share my love for movement with my future patients who I work with. And so overall, my main goal is to one day be a PT for dancers. So whether that be for a ballet company or performers on Broadway, I'm excited to see where the Lord takes me with that. And even though dance was the first reason I wanted to go into physical therapy, as I have gotten to see the field, my main factor in applying for physical therapy schools when I was doing so was to build connections with others. I consider myself a very one-on-one type of person in getting to know people, and I know that the field really encourages these types of relationships. And also, as I've gotten to observe, I have just like loved getting to see how PTs get to like work closely with patients, and I've seen that this future field I'll be going into can also be a mission in which I can share the gospel with others. So today I would like to share with you an opportunity that has come up for me that my physical therapy program and I will be a part of. My physical therapy program at Harn-Simmons is very Christian and very servant-driven. We get to participate in multiple service projects every semester. So, for example, this past September, I got to conduct balance screens for residents in a community center. And this weekend, actually, I will get to help in building ramps for people who have wheelchairs who need like a place to get out of their home when stairs are really hard for them to do so. And in addition, I would love to share with you that I will be going on a mission trip this July. We will be going to Campo Largo, Brazil, kind of like in that area. And it will be the first mission trip that I will be a part of. So I'm very excited to see how that goes. I know that my physical therapy program at Harn Simmons has been partnered with a Christian organization called Johnny and Friends for years. They've gotten to go to so many different countries over the years and take the students with them to be able to help out. And so while we're there, I know that we will get to build and customize wheelchairs and other assistive devices for people like within that community. I know people in these communities have disabilities or kids with disabilities where they can't get around to accomplish like the daily task I feel like we take for granted here in America. These people are often hidden away from the world due to beliefs that are obviously not Christian, because a lot of people believe that there is something quote-unquote wrong with them. And so my program and I are very excited to be of service to these individuals, to not only evaluate and treat them like a physical therapist does, but to also eagerly share the gospel with them and share that good news. So with a trip like this, the main thing I ask for from you all is for prayers, just prayers that we will have a safe travel to and from Brazil, and that everyone involved in this trip will be healthy. So including like me, my classmates, my professors, and everyone involved in Johnny and Friends. And also prayers that we will share the gospel that makes sense to the people in Brazil. So I'll have to learn some Portuguese and probably a little bit of Spanish to connect with them. And I also ask for prayers to continue thriving in my physical therapy program, especially since it is a rigorous program. I'll be graduating from that December 2025. I'm about to finish my first semester here now. And yeah, I am also requesting donations for this trip if that is something the Lord has laid on your heart as I have spoken today. I know I have letters in the back of the church at the end of service for more information on this trip with a link and QR code that you can scan or go on to donate. And I also know that Pastor Scott has told me that the church is already willing to donate to my trip. So I just want to thank everyone involved with that decision and everyone who was involved with donating to that. Thank you very much for that. And yes, that's the end of my message. I thank you so much for listening to me today, and I cannot wait to come back in July to tell you more about the trip.
So here's the thing. So the church, we've already committed that today, I'll have to get with Rhonda. You have to raise $3,100. Is that correct? And so the church decided we're gonna start her off with 1,000. But she needs more, right? And so if you feel led to support Amanda in this awesome trip, I mean, think about the skills that she's gonna take, that God is gonna use, all of her hard work in school and all these things to learn about the body and to learn about how to bring healing and comfort. And be able to use that as a springboard to talk about the great physician, the Lord Jesus Christ. And man, what an opportunity we have. Our little church here has an opportunity to make a big impact in Brazil. Yes. Think about that. By the way, I need to get you with Roger Douglas, because he spent some time, extended period of time in Brazil and speaks Portuguese.
Oh, wow.
So he might be able to give you some pointers. But if you want to help, okay, well, first you can help her today if that's easier for you. But if you want, on the round table as you leave in the foyer, there are these sheets. It has a QR code. It has a link. You can go on there and you can give, and just make sure you earmark it or whatever for Amanda, and you can give through that. So I'm hoping that we can get her all squared away. When does it have to be complete? By beginning of February. So there you go. Outstanding. Thank you, Amanda.
Great. Thank you.
You're welcome. I said I would leave open. If there's anybody that would like to share something, you're welcome to come and share. Everybody's like, no, not me.
I'm going to share.
All right.
I don't need the microphone.
No, you don't.
Any of you get scripture for? The Lord is not slow to fulfill his promise, as some count slowness, but is patient toward you, that any should perish, but that all should reach repentance. In 1970, I was a good sinner. I knew more ways to sin than probably half of you in here. I was in Vietnam and I got wounded. Now that don't sound so good, does it? It was probably one of the best things that ever happened to me. Because after I got wounded, I was medevaced out of Vietnam. While I was in the hospital in Japan, my unit went to Cambodia. Took 70% KIAs. Got medevaced from Japan back to the United States. And I continued to be a very good sinner for the next, I don't know how many years, a lot of years. And then I met Carol. Now, if I wouldn't have got wounded in Vietnam, if I wouldn't have got medevaced out of there, if I wouldn't have went through all them other places, winding up in Copper's Cove, I would have never met Carol. Carol brought me to Crestview Christian Church. We tried some other churches, but we kind of felt like Crestview I could handle. Because I was still a heathen, still sinned real good. But Carol was the light, the door that opened up to get me in here so that I could hear about salvation. I could hear about Christ and I could be saved. And I got saved right here at Crestview.
Wow.
We used to have a baptistry over here. I got baptized right there.
It was right there.
I got baptized right here. And I still sin. I think we all do. But I am not the sinner I used to be.
Oh, thank you, Lord.
And I have tried to make a difference for Christ here in Copper's Cove and in Crestview. And that passage, it's never too late. God wants you. He will wait for you and wait for you, give you opportunities. But my advice to you young people, don't wait. Accept Christ and start living his life now. Because the life I used to live and the life I live now are so different, and this is so much better.
Amen.
I mean, the joy and the peace I have now compared to what I used to have, it's just unbelievable. So, that's my little testimony.
The praise team's going to make their way up and lead us. We're going to close this out with this. I want you to know something. Sometimes you hear somebody's testimony and it's like, wow. And then you look back at your life and you're like, well, mine's kind of boring, right? I don't really have a whole lot to share. Yes, you do. Yes, you do. See, we need testimonies of men and women have lost their way, and God has gone and found them in the midst of sin and despair. We need those testimonies. We also need testimonies that it doesn't have to be that way. We need testimonies of those who grew up from the beginning being taught of Christ and being witnessed by their family of Christ. We need those testimonies too. Because wherever life takes you, youngins, listen, youths, God's going to take you guys to places that you don't even know of yet. And he's going to do it because you are the person that he has set forth to go and do the work. Paul says in Ephesians 2 that as we all know, that we were dead in our sins and trespasses, that we are sinners, that we are not even seeking out God, but we're enemies of God. But because of God's love and mercy, he makes us alive in Christ. And by grace we have been saved through faith. It's not by work, so that none may boast. But at the end of that little section, he says, but we are what? Created in Christ Jesus for good works that the Lord has prepared beforehand. So everybody that comes to the Lord Jesus Christ by God's grace through faith has work that God intends for them to do that nobody else can do. It's their work. And so it doesn't matter if you think you got a grand testimony that's going to get the crowds going oohing and aahing, or you think you have a testimony that's just like blah. That's yours. And God has given you that testimony to bring glory to him. And there's going to be work before you that God says only you can accomplish through me. Nobody else. So don't look back and go, wow, I have nothing great to share. Yes, you do. If God went and found you on the road to hell, share it and say hallelujah. If God found you on the road to heaven, in a great family, say hallelujah and share it. That's the truth. That's the truth. It takes all of those testimonies. You don't know who the Lord's going to put you in front of someday, where the work that he's done in you will be the difference. Let's pray and then let's sing. Father God, we thank you. I thank you for the testimonies that were brought today, Lord, and I pray that we can have more and more testimonies come each year as we do this, and maybe we should do it more, Lord, as we be encouraged by what you have done in the lives of our brothers and sisters. And Lord, we want to have even a testimony as a church, Lord. We would like for those outside these doors to have a testimony about this church, that it is a church of mercy and of love and of grace and of compassion. That people in this community would look and maybe they will not agree with us for what we believe. Maybe they will not even like what we believe, but they will have no other choice but to stand and say, yeah, well, they love well. They serve well. They're merciful and they're gracious and they're kind. We want that to be our testimony, Lord. So we need you to work that in us. And we ask this in Jesus' name.